conversations on life, style, beauty, and relationships. It's the Velvet's Edge podcast with Kelly Henderson.
I was just telling you when you messaged me last week about doing another podcast, I was like, and you said, I think the last one was, it was right after my mental health break. And I was like, wait, what's a mental health break? Because maybe that's what I need in my life right now. I think it was definitely a universe thing. I just hit a wall finally, I think. And kind of the world felt like it was collapsing. And I have had a hard time working. I am just like completely, it's like almost feeling like brain dead in some capacity. So will you just share with us? And I mean, I told you too, I was like, I just want to record our phone conversation. If it's good, I want to put it out to the listeners because I'm about to take a mental health break. I didn't know that was the name of it, but that's what I'm going to be doing. And thank you for giving me that verbiage. And I didn't really know what to say to people about where I'm going. Like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm just going to be in Nashville at my house doing some inner work, but I need to take a break. Period. That's just
congratulations.
Thank you. You're
giving yourself a gift. And when I found myself feeling very much like what you described, I didn't really have a game plan either. I didn't know it was something we were allowed to do. Like, wait, what? You're allowed to stop because you don't feel good? Like, it's not something we are taught to allow ourselves. Like, God forbid, if I'd been diagnosed with some physical ailment, maybe then I would have given myself permission sooner and like, oh no, I'm sick. I have to stop. But when it's your mental health that's suffering, I think we all quietly endure as long as we can until one day we can't. And that's when the break comes in. And for me, it changed my life for the better in so many ways. But it takes a lot of courage to even just say those words, like, I'm taking a break.
Yeah. And I mean, you are a business owner. You've been on the podcast before. Everyone knows about my pinky ring. I can't believe I forgot to put it on for this podcast. But obviously, I'm on a break. So I don't even get dressed anymore. But yeah, I wear it all the time. It's become kind of one of my staples that everyone knows. It's my little diamond pinky ring. I wore it on TV. Everyone was like, where'd you get that? Are you engaged? I'm like, no, to myself. But you have an amazing company called Fred and Farr. And you're an author. And you've written all these amazing words about self-love and the ABCs of self-love. Like, how do you do that? And to me, when I hear about achieving like that, I'm like, you don't take a break. Like that is what we're programmed to believe, right? Like when you were just talking, I was thinking to myself, I literally still don't know that it's okay to take a break. And that is such an odd feeling. And especially like when you tie it into business, because you're just afraid it's all going to go away.
Yeah. And for me, I looked up the date. You and I did our podcast episode at the beginning of January. I think it was January 8th, 2019.
Okay.
And at that time, during that call, I knew I was burnt out, but I had no plans to stop because who stops? Nobody stops. So we had this amazing podcast episode. And if people go back and listen to it, they'll be like, no, she sounds perfectly normal, like full steam ahead. I had plans. I had all these things we talked about. I was so proud of everything that this self-love movement has accomplished so far. I had no plans of stopping. And then later that month, it was a full moon and it was like a super moon or something. And I don't know why that night I went outside and I sat under the moon with my journal, something I've never, ever done before in my life. And I said, please tell me what to do. Like, I can't continue like this anymore. And I'm crying right now because that feeling is still in my body. And I just was looking for permission, I guess. And that night in the light of the moon, I gave it to myself. And the next day I went into work and I decided I'm going to sell all my inventory, whatever I have, and come hell or high water at the end of March, I'm taking a break and I'm not going to explain anything to anybody. I'm not going to say when I'm going to come back. I don't know if I'm going to come back. All I know is I need a break. And that's exactly what I did. I sold whatever I could. I was very transparent with everybody. Like, I'm going on a mental health break. And then I allowed the wheels of my life to stop turning at a million miles an hour. And I started creating space for myself to be in my body, to rest, to heal, to not have an agenda every single minute of the day. And, you know, part of the reason I wanted to have this call with you is to share like how much was born during that time period. And, you know, I've written several books and I'm working on a new one right now that's coming out in the fall. And this poem, I haven't even written the poem yet, but this is the line, right? To pause is power. Pausing is your power. And I have experienced that firsthand. And I hope that for you, Kelly, like what comes of this period is exactly that, recognizing that you pausing isn't weakness. It's exactly the opposite.
I'm like losing it because I'm so emotional, but everything you're saying is exactly what I'm feeling. You know, like it's been this whole 3 years of just shit and like a lot. And I don't think I realized for how many years I've been just gripping and trying to hold everything up. And it's so hard because externally, a lot of times that's when people think, oh my God, you're killing it. You know, and look at this, look at all the stuff you've built, or, oh my God, look at this podcast that's doing amazing, or look, you're on TV, like, look at all this stuff. And for me, it took it all kind of crashing to the point where I, and the pandemic and things that I literally genuinely couldn't control. I went through fertility stuff, and that's been the first time in my life I have not been able to work hard enough to get something. I don't know what that means. Like that, I didn't realize that I will do whatever I need to do, regardless of my health, in order to achieve the things that I want. And unfortunately, it feels like our culture just applauds that, you know, like, and it's just the scariest thing for me. But then last week happened, and I got to the place where I'm like, I'd had some feedback from some podcast stuff that I did. And someone said, that was so funny. You said that I didn't even like recognize that in you. And I thought to myself, I don't recognize that in me. Like, I don't even know who I am anymore. I'm doing things out of emotion, or like going through the motions, knowing certain things too, that like numbers wise can work, or, you know, following a storyline or trying to, it's just like, there's so much out there that you just start going with the things that, you know, people, it's what's going to get people. And that's not who I am from what I used to know of me, at least. But I've gotten so off track that I'm having a hard time even getting in touch with what I enjoy doing, what fills me up, what is my purpose? Like, why am I here? I have no idea. And so it literally just, I woke up one morning and had a hard conversation with someone who was listening to the podcast. And it was the perfect conversation though, because it finally got me to the place of like, I can't fucking do this anymore. I just can't. I sat in my backyard all day and listened to a playlist. Like that's really soothing for me. And I just sobbed and stared at nature. And I was like, yeah, I'm unwell. This is not good. Did you ever have just like a moment like that?
Oh yeah. I'm telling you, it was under the moon. I lost my shit.
Yeah.
I literally lost it. And what I have learned, at least for me, and it's, you're echoing it right back to me right now, is that ego-driven productivity, like productivity that's driven by your need to achieve and to validate your worth through some external means, it kills your intuition. Like it literally dulls it to the point where you no longer know who you are, why you're here, what you're supposed to do, or how to feel good. Like your intuition is the answer to all of those things. Your intuition helps you know who you are, why you're here, what you're supposed to be doing, and how to feel good. And when you fill up all the space in your life with this conquest of like more likes, more follows, more episodes, more sales, more networking, more, you're actually giving up a lot, and you end up with a lot less because you end up with no space for yourself. And what you did in the backyard, listening to music and looking to nature and allowing yourself to feel, was probably like the most intuitive thing you've done in a really long time. And even though it's hard, like that's you being reborn and coming home to yourself. And I think that's so beautiful, like for you to share that with me.
Well, the truth is I had been on the phone with my best friend. I'm sorry, my voice is so shaky. This is very emotional for me. But she was like, you know, everyone, it was the middle of the work week. It was like a Wednesday. And she said to me, like, okay, could you just maybe put on your shoes and go for a walk? Try to clear your head, like, and let's figure out like next right step kind of stuff. You know, like I had a podcast scheduled that day and she was like, first things first, you got to cancel that podcast. Like you can't do this to yourself today and then cancel the one you have tomorrow. And for me, you know, I had an artist booked too. And I just was like, I can't do that. Like I just, and I'm like, that's how I've been operating though, is I'm literally having what I would call a somewhat nervous breakdown. And I was so concerned about losing that guest mm-hmm. or offending someone's schedule that I couldn't even formulate that. And she was like, no, you're doing that. And then call me back. And then she was like, okay, now maybe you should go for a walk or something. And you know, I'm really lucky that I have really good friends like this, but I realized it was almost 2 in the afternoon and I hadn't eaten a bite of food and I couldn't even get the energy to go on a walk. Like that's how out of touch I had gotten. And that just like, for me, when she said that, I was just again, hitting these places. And so the best I could do was go sit in my backyard. And like you said, it did bring me peace. And eventually a couple of my friends showed up at my house. I felt like an episode of The Intervention or something, but in some ways it is, you know, and I think it's a hard thing, this achieving piece and this perfectionist piece, and especially in a culture that's just so driven by success. And like you said, the likes and all of that stuff, to set it down or to say to yourself, maybe this needs a pause, maybe this needs something, it needs a shift, and not to have the answer yet, and just to sit in the stillness can be both extremely freeing and extremely terrifying all at the same time.
Because, and by the way, like you said, the name of my book that's coming out in September, The Shift, that's what this, everything I do now is about that. Like how do we create the shift?
Okay.
Like you are in my brain and it's crazy.
We've always been that way.
It's I know. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. The reason taking a pause is scary is because from the minute we're born, we are taught to focus on what comes next. At least for me, like it was like, okay, I'm going to be in elementary school, but then I'm going to apply to prep school. And then from there, I'm going to apply to college and I'm going to pick a major and then I'm going to go to graduate school and then I'm going to have a career and then I'm going to get married and get a dog and get a house and have kids. And like everything is already planned. It's all about what is the next step. We've never allowed for the next step to be joyfully unknown. Mm. It's always fearfully planned. Like
That's so good.
That's us, right? Instead of joyfully unknown, it's fearfully planned. And we chain ourselves to these like hamster wheels. And we just think if we run fast enough, then we will prove that we're going to get everything we deserve. And we lived up to our potential and we were perfect enough and we made an impact enough and we were liked enough and we were generous enough and so on and so on. What I'm curious about is like, what if we all just collectively decided that being here alive in this moment and breathing is enough? Like, what if that's what the past 2 years were here to teach us, that we can plan and we can be strategic and then something can come and take it all away from us. And if we are not in tune with ourselves, if we are not joyfully present in the here and now, there will be nothing for us because everything can get taken away. And that happened, right? Like, and we're all still living the stress of it. I went to a restaurant last night and everyone around me was eating and drinking and joyful. And all I could think was like, am I going to get COVID tonight? Mm-hmm. Like I could not get that thought out of my mind. And we all live with that collective trauma of feeling totally unsafe. Mm-hmm. But there is a liberation in it, right? Like there is also this like great awakening that like a lot of the things that we thought mattered really didn't. A lot of the stuff we were accumulating, we didn't really need. And maybe it's time for us to be ourselves and choose to be deliberate about how we spend our time and live our lives without it being in design to achieve something. Like maybe it's about reclaiming that space for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that's what the pause is, right? It's reclaiming your space, your time, your energy, your attention, your love. And it's ironic. Like, I started a self-love movement in 2015 is when I came up with this idea for the self-love pinky ring, because I had this idea back then that, like, shouldn't I be a priority in my life? Shouldn't I make space for my mental health and my physical health? And here I am, like, over 5 years later, and I'm still struggling with the same thing because it is so hard to do. You know, I get met all the time with this outpouring of applause for being a superwoman. And I cringe now when people say that. I don't want to be a superwoman. There's a huge toll that I am experiencing being a mom of three kids, writing these books, having this company, having very little help, carrying all this around. Like, I don't want to be super. I'm like crumbling over here. Like, this morning I had a thyroid ultrasound because my thyroid's totally messed up, and it's not for nothing. Like, we run ourselves into the ground. And even though we seem like perfectly polished and capable and everything's going great, and I got a 3-book deal, and that was my greatest ambition in life, by the way, like, I am faced with my mortality now every single day, because for so long I completely neglected myself in service to my ambition. And now I have to pay for that. And I see you're paying for that. Mm-hmm. Like, how much have you sacrificed in service to your ambition?
Myself would be my answer. I mean, you said so many good things in there. I want to touch on two of them that really popped out to me. But speaking of the pandemic, when you said, you know, there's so much that we realized we didn't need, that for me, in a very startling way, was my job. And my job was one of the ones that disappeared. You know, the music industry went away. So that aspect of my job disappeared. I was not on TV anymore. There was a whole falling out with the show that I was on. And then, like, even Instagram going down the other day. But I mean, it was like the silliest things, right? But I thought to myself, in the 4 hours that it was down, I was like, oh my God, all of a sudden that blue check mark means nothing. Like, who cares? Yeah. All of a sudden, you know, swipe up is even different now. Like, nothing is the same, and I can't control it. I can't control the algorithm. I can't control that a show might get canceled on the weekend and my artists aren't going to be doing the same things they were doing. And all of it happened all at the same time to push me to this place where I didn't have the things that I used to grip to. Like if I would be going through a breakup, I would throw myself into work, you know? And it was like, I got the validation I needed to feel what I thought back to myself looked like. Mm-hmm. And the truth was, is amongst all of that, I created this false self. Like, I mean, sure, those are parts of me and they're things that I love, but the reality of all of that is that I've gotten so lost from myself that now I feel like I'm going through my life chasing, like you said, and also just like filling it with all these things that in the root of all of it are really not mine to hold on to. And they're just for me to create this ego version of myself so that I look really, you know, nice and cool on the outside. And sure, I'm trying to do good in there too, because that is my heart.
Yeah.
I try. But like, the reality of all of it is it's the chasing and the striving. And sure, I mean, like, maybe those things can come back, but like, I just have realized that that is not who I am ultimately. It can be things that I do, but like, if I'm missing the piece of who I am, and that connection to myself, it's always going to end this way for me with the meltdown. You know, I mean, I literally wrote when I was sitting in the backyard, I took a journal out there to see if I wanted to write anything down. And all I wrote on this one piece of paper was, who the fuck am I? And I just stared at that for hours and I could not answer. Like, I think I've gotten to a better place in a week of where I could answer a few more questions, but it was just so jumbled in my head. And I was like, I don't even know. So anyway, there was that. What was the other thing you said? I should have taken notes, but you said so many good things in there. And I do really appreciate hearing about the fact that you're still on a journey. Like, You started in this place 5 years ago where you were like, or 6 years ago, almost, I guess, where you had this idea, but that doesn't mean that like we do it perfectly or that it just gets figured out because you started a business around self-love. You're like the master of self-love now.
Oh yeah. No, quite the opposite. And like that break I took was proof of that back in 2019. Like I took 6 months off, and then now here we are like a few years after that. And like, I might need another one. Like I feel overwhelmed. Like there is just too much. There's too much. I don't think I give myself even an hour a day of like quiet reflection. And that's also because I've developed some really bad pandemic habits. I'm like super addicted to my phone. Mm-hmm. It's almost as though like, if I'm like reading a news article or going on Facebook or doing those things, like I'm constantly searching for something that I know I'm never going to find. Mm-hmm. I'm like trying to scratch an itch that I know I'm never going to scratch, but it keeps me from being lonely. And I think that's why I do it. Like I keep filling my space because I feel so alone sometimes, mm-hmm. even though I'm surrounded by a lot of people. And like, that's just a bad habit. Like I need to have a digital detox and just commit to creating space to like think, to breathe, to move. But it's not easy when your world is moving like a bullet train and you feel like either you have to stay on it or the opposite of staying on it is like giving it all up. And that's been my challenge is I was very peaceful during my break. I was so intuitive during that period, like crazy magical things started happening. I would have like visions of things, they would happen. I mean, I felt like a witch. I was so in touch with myself. But inevitably, like the wheels started moving again and me being me, I started doing like way more than I should have. And here I am again, like all over again, another 3 years later, trying to figure out how do I maintain that beauty that I was able to nurture when I was still and bring that stillness into what is like an incredibly busy life. And that's a formula I'm going to have to probably keep working on for the rest of my life. But I will say that the difference between how I used to carry it before and how I carry it now is now I'm learning to course correct a little bit sooner. Like my therapist said this to me last week. I hadn't had a session with her in a couple of years. And my husband and I were having like a very hard week. And I was like, I need therapy. Like I need to go and figure this out. And she said to me, God bless her. She goes, Melody, here's what I've learned about you. You wait too long to course correct. Like when something feels off, you wait until like the building is on fire to do something about it. And she's like, that's what I want you to work on. And it's only been a week and it's still very fresh, but she's kind of like blown my mind with this idea that I can course correct sooner. And if I feel off in my body, if I feel off in my mind, like I can start making changes sooner. And it doesn't need to get to such an extreme place before I feel like I deserve an hour of my time every day, which really I wasn't even getting an hour. And even for you, like you're going. And then the other thing, sorry, I was going to say is I used to be really fearful about what was on the other side of everything. And now I'm like curious. And even for you, when you stare down at that page that says, who the fuck am I? Like maybe there is like a, who the fuck am I? Like there's a little like curiosity and joy and willingness to like embrace this opportunity for self-discovery. Like I have a feeling you're going to like what you find.
Thank you for saying that. Because the truth is too, is the person that I am has evolved and changed. And especially through some pretty tough situations the last couple of years. And so like you said, you're getting better at the course correction even in a week. And, you know, I've noticed with myself, I'm such a perfectionist that it's hard for me to give myself any credit because I'm like, oh, I'm not doing this right. Or like, oh, I still don't have this figured out, you know? And instead of looking at, oh, wow, in the past, this would have taken me 5 years to figure out. And now it's taking me a year. Or, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it can be even the small things like that or noticing, oh, you know what? I'm doing that thing again. Or just kind of like having the progress be the goal versus the perfection is typically where I can get when I'm in a better place. But when I am in my other headspace, the striving headspace, it is like no, you better be perfect. You better be perfect. You better do this. You've got to do this. And it's where I just end up losing myself. And so maybe it is, it's like a new awakening to a deeper version of myself, even, or a version I haven't met yet. And
exactly. Like there's so much there waiting for you. And yeah. I'll say like what helps me. And I think part of the reason why I write is because having little like mantras really helps me get my head right when I'm spinning. And so for you, like one of the things that I've learned that's really helped me, because I'm also a perfectionist, is I have kind of put perfectionism on one side and I've put authenticity on the other. So when I'm faced with a choice or I'm in a moment, I ask myself, do I want to be perfect or do I want to be true? And when you have something really simple and clear like that, you know, like I don't want to be perfect when I'm faced with that choice. I would much rather be real. And that's why, like, even in talking to you, like, I'll tell you I had marriage struggle. I'll tell you I have thyroid health issue. I'll tell you like that I'm scared about the future of my business because I really don't know like what it's going to look like. It's been such a brutal, brutal year. But the old me wouldn't have shared any of that with you. Right. I would have glossed over it. I would have been like, you know, I'm like, married to the love of my life. We've been together for over 10 years with 3 kids. And it's so amazing how supportive he is of my self-love. And all of that is true, but it's not the whole picture. It's right. The perfect version of the picture.
The best thing one of my therapists told me was to use the word and instead of but, you know, and like, because they can both be true. It's like you're married to the love of your life. And it's a relationship and there's 2 people with 2 personalities and there's going to be issues.
It's really fucking hard.
That's just reality though, you know? And I don't think we do each other any sort of service by doing this half version of ourselves. And I think that's been one of the things that I've learned about social media is I really do want to try to be this authentic version of myself. And that's really hard publicly. And especially when you've been, exposed or shamed publicly or any sort of like negativity has come your way, I think that it makes it even harder to be like, wait, but no, here's the real me, because I think we all ultimately really do just want acceptance and validation and connection with people. And those things can be really hard when you're in your vulnerability completely because we're all human.
Yeah. And I think especially as women, shame is such a big part of the equation. Like I grew up in a very shame-based culture.
Yeah.
And the great irony is that like all the things I was ashamed about back then, like being young and like curious about sex and having sexual feelings and being told like, I have to stay a virgin until I'm married and you can't even use a tampon because you're going to be damaged. Like these were very strong messages I was growing up with. And I had so much vivaciousness and sexual energy and like, what I wouldn't give for a vial of what I had in me in my 20s. Mm-hmm. And now that I'm approaching 40 and now I'm shameful about the opposite. Now I'm like, fuck, like, why don't I want to have sex anymore? Like, why is this part of me broken? Like I spent half my life being ashamed for having it. Now I'm feeling ashamed for not having it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like women are often put in these really terrible positions where you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. Like my whole life, I thought like the end all be all of my identity was having a family. And now I have this beautiful family. And there are some days where I cry because I'm like, who signs up for this? To give up your life and identity for 20 years and not belong to yourself? Like I could cry because it's something I'm really struggling with because I live and breathe for these other people and they're the best thing that ever happened to me. And to use your therapist's word, and I feel like this complete loss of autonomy and identity and fun and youth because I'm constantly worried about them 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to reconcile those things. I feel like, and I'm not alone. Everyone has these dualities that they're faced with where they are shamed one way and shamed the other way. And if we all were as brave as you're being today, because this is for your audience, like, they all know you. They all know the absolute knockout, gorgeous, flawless, funny, caring person you are, right? Like this is what you present to the world. For you to be brave enough to show them that you're also struggling, especially now when you have so much that you've built, right? It's so scary to be like, okay, like I'm not, even though you think I'm perfect, I'm not. There's a lot of risk in that, but they're going to love you for it even more. I promise you, you're going to save a life because there is a girl somewhere who's been watching you and every day thinking like, am I ever going to be that perfect? And today she's going to realize that you and her are both whole, and wholeness requires embracing even the hard parts. And she's going to feel better about herself today because she will stop pursuing perfection that was never attainable for either of you, nor should it have been, because yeah, you're far more special than perfection could ever afford you.
Oh, thank you. And I actually, like, I'm starting to get to this place. First of all, thank you for saying all that stuff. But I'm starting to get to this place where I'm like, I don't want to be that person that puts that out there. You know, like, I have a lot of programming to maybe untangle to get out of that role, but and to really fully embrace authentically who I am, maybe, which first takes getting to know that version of myself. But I do think that there's something in me, and I'm actually feeling it on a bigger scale, maybe happening a little more in our society, of just like, we're all sick of that. Like, we're all sick of this, like, picture perfect. And especially, I love hearing your version of, like, talking about a family, because as a woman, you are immediately programmed from a little girl. I was reading this meme today that was like all these Disney princesses, and it was this like picture of a cartoon therapist being like, wait, so you gave up your entire life like to, you completely neglected who you were to fit into his life? Like, it was talking to maybe like Cinderella or something. And it's just like all these versions of things that we are programmed from, like, birth, basically, to believe that unless we do those things, then we are not successful. And I mentioned the infertility stuff earlier. The biggest thing I faced with that was like, I feel like a failure as a woman. Yeah. And it's not anything I can control. I mean, it is like the universe's plan in that. And maybe I have a baby one day or maybe not, but I know that, like, I did everything I could do, and I'm still, you know, doing the things that I can do. But like, at some point, that's okay if that's not my journey or my path. And it's been a huge process of letting go, and letting go of that feeling of being a failure, or just like to even say that out loud. You know, a lot of people would never say, like, I love being a mom. And there are days where I'm like, I feel trapped. And that's, but why? Why are we not talking like that with each other?
Because we're all terrified. We're all living in perpetual fear of what lies on the other side of asking questions. And I really think that right now is a time, like, I keep coming back to this, like, joyful curiosity. Like, maybe it's good for me to have these feelings and honor them, because it will allow me to create more space to do what I need to do to feel really good. You know, like, I want to plan a writing retreat and go and get some words on paper, and that makes me feel really, like, connected with myself. And then I can come back and be like a happier, less burnt out version. Like, they mm-hmm. will be fine if I leave for a week. I mean, let's drill it down. This weekend, I had plans to take my kids to this, like, farm thing with my husband. I got tickets for all of us. And then my best friend had a baby, and she's having a celebration on Sunday at the same time. I've been running circles in my brain, like, how am I going to do both? Like, I can't miss the farm thing. And my husband was like, I can take them by myself. I'm like, no, what if one of them needs something and you're stuck with the other two? Like, you can't do it. And then finally I was like, why am I doing this? I can miss the farm thing. Mm-hmm. He can be with the kids. I cannot break myself in a million pieces to make everyone else comfortable. Like, I don't need to plan it for him. He's a grown man. My kids will be fine. They see me every day. But I carry around guilt every day that I'm not doing enough for the people in my life. But for some reason, I never carry that guilt around not doing enough for myself. And that's the shift. Like, I don't want to feel guilty. I don't want to ever feel guilty. But I do think it's time for me, for you, for anyone who's listening, who feels burnt out, to embrace the fact that you do actually deserve your own love and attention, and that there's nothing wrong to carve out with carving out time to pause, to be still, to reflect, to redirect, to rediscover, and to really ask yourself like this very simple question, like, who the fuck am I? What is this life I'm living? We only get one. Like, how often do we stop and recalibrate and ask yourself, like, is my life in service to me, or am I in service to my life?
Oh God, that's so good. I'm going to write that one down.
It seems like that's what you're doing, you know, and only good comes from that.
I love that you brought up the shift of the mindset going into more curiosity, because, you know, that was one of the things my best friend said to me. She was just like, I think if you pause for just a second, and first of all, even ask yourself these questions, like, what in my life do I enjoy doing? I don't even know when the last time I asked myself that was, you know, like, I just do at this point. And it's become such a survival mechanism, especially with the pandemic happening. I think, you know, I've always worked for myself, so that was a survival thing. I've also never been married or had, you know, anyone else to rely on financially. And so I've just, you know, I've gotten into this mentality of, well, I'm going to just, if I want this kind of life, like, I'm going to have to make it happen myself. And so I've been in that program for so long that I think I was like a yes person to, yes, this looks like a good opportunity for X, Y, and Z. But it's like, do I actually want to do that? Or is that in line with who I am? I have not asked myself those questions. I can't even remember the last time. And I mean, I'm ashamed to say that, but that's just the truth, because it has become such a survival thing of, if I'm going to make this work, you know, there's the pressure that I put on myself for that. Or like, if I'm going to buy the house that I want to buy, or if I'm going to be able to go on these trips that I want, you know, all the stuff, just stuff. And that was one thing in the pandemic. I was like, all of this can get stripped way down. Yeah. And I realized how little I actually need to live with. And I still was able to pay my bills. And, you know, it's like, I still have plenty of clothes. Like, I'm good. You don't need that extra pair of shoes there, sister. Like, there's just a lot. Yeah. And it's also
really did it for me, that the extra pair. I like literally threw up one day because I saw I had three pairs of boots next to each other in the entryway. They were all black and they were boots I had bought like over the course of 10 years. So it wasn't like an extravagant thing, but I almost got sick. I'm like, why do I need three pairs of black flat boots? It makes no sense. Like, when did this happen? I'm like, I feel stifled by all the stuff around me. And I didn't feel that way before, because stuff made my ego feel good.
Right.
You know,
like the more, the better, or like the newer, the better, or let me get that new version of that, or like a new black boot, anything like that. I mean, I remember, we first started like cooking at home, and I did not realize how much I enjoyed food from home. Like, I actually know what's going in my food, or I feel better. Like, I feel healthier. Postmates is really fucking expensive after a while. You just don't realize it. And it's like, I don't want to put those companies out of business either. But at the same time, I think when you break it down a little bit, yes, it is lovely to get to go to dinner with friends every now and again. Do I need to be doing it every night? No. And do I need to be eating, you know, at these extravagant places every night? No. It's like, you can just strip it all down so much more. And for that, I've been very grateful. But I think it's just, now that it's shifting back, it's like, wait, I can't actually go back. I've learned too much. It's like, once you know, you can't unknow something. And like, there's too much that I know now, yet I haven't quite figured out the new path. And so hence a semi-nervous breakdown, because it's just not in line anymore.
It's so hard. It's so hard to, it becomes almost like a side hustle, right? Like, everyone says, like, have a day job, but then also have a side hustle. And I'm like, people have more hours in the day than I do, because that's not really a recipe for success. It's a recipe for running yourself into the ground. And why aren't we instead saying to people, like, if you are financially able, and I know that this comes from like a very privileged place, because not everyone can take a break, and not everyone has the means to get off the hamster wheel, but assuming that you do, assuming that you've worked hard enough and you have a little nest egg, like, why, instead of saying get a side hustle, do we not say, like, you've earned time to not be doing two things at once. Like, why not just try taking care of yourself for a little while and see what's born of that space instead of urging everyone to like find their purpose and have their income and, you know, present perfectly to the outer world. Like, it's everything is always multitasking. And for me, at least, my brain used to operate really well as a multitasker. It would be, I would have said like on my life resume, like top five skills, one would be Googling, one would be multitasking. I can't do it anymore.
It's too overwhelming.
The gears are not grinding the way they used to. I need to do one thing at a time in order to feel safe and sane and peaceful. And that sometimes that comes out as at an expense, because that train of yeses that you were describing earlier, where something came in, you said yes to it. Like, I operated from that place for a really long time. And now I'm claiming a lot more of my power by being like, no, like I'm saying no to this so that I can create space for myself. And I think that's really hard for people. It's hard for people to set boundaries because they're always looking at it through the lens of like, what am I saying no to? And for me, one of the big shifts has been like, boundaries aren't about what you say no to. They're about what you make space for. And I think we all deserve, especially after the past few years, to really make some space for ourselves. And as you said, like recalibrate and achieve a new alignment within ourselves and with our world, because it's not the same world anymore and we are not the same people. No. So don't we just take a minute?
I think so. It's also like we've all had so much trauma in some capacity in the last couple of years. And so anything that I know from doing trauma work in my past is like, that's exhausting. And the grief that comes from that alone is such a weight, you know? And so like, we're doing ourselves this disservice by being like, well, let's just get back to normal. Let's just like go back. And it's like, whoa, but like, what about the processing? Like, what happened to you? And like, how did that affect how you operate now? Or like how you see the world or how you see people? And I mean, I've lost friendships over all the political stuff. I've lost relationships at work. I've lost like all these things that they really hurt. And there's a lot that goes into that. And I am a type of person where I want to kind of look into the whys. And I know not everybody operates that way, but that's exhausting. And so I've been trying to do that and heal myself and get back to work in the multitasking way that you're talking about. And I should be clear too, like I still have to work and I'm still going to go do my day job, which is, you know, hair and makeup and styling, because I have to pay my bills. But it's the side hustles and all that stuff that I'm like, do I have to do this right now? Yes, they bring in income. Yes, it scares the fuck out of me to put it down. And like, what if I come back and everyone's like, wait, who? Why do we care what you say anymore? You know, that's really scary to me because I've worked really hard to build this. But I also have to say to myself, if you're performing at this like less than half capacity that you have been and continue to do that, what kind of product are you even, or like, what are you even giving people? Because I'm not.
That's what I was going to say. Like, there's a lot of integrity in what you're doing right now. This decision you're making comes from a place of integrity. And people these days, especially consumers, whether it's consumers of products or services or content, they can sniff out when someone's not being authentic and they're off it. And in the same vein, like when they see that someone's acting from a place of integrity, they celebrate it, they support it, they hold you up and they wait for you. That's what I experienced with my business is like, I just didn't sell anything for 6 months. And I would get emails from people saying like, I would tell them, I'm not selling the self-love pinky ring. Why don't you go buy a ring from someone else and make this commitment to yourself? It's about the commitment. It's not about the ring. And they would literally say to me, no, it's okay. I'll wait. I'll wait. Just in case you open up again, I want one of yours. And I attribute that to the fact that I acted with integrity. Like, it takes integrity to pause. It takes integrity to tell somebody like, go get it from somewhere else. And people feel that. And I think for you, as long as you're honest about what's going on to the degree that you want to be, like, you don't owe anybody anything.
Yeah.
You don't even owe anybody this explanation, but you know, there, the future holds unlimited and infinite possibility for us. And the only thing that stands in the way of that is our fear. Like when we are fearful and limited in our thinking, doors close that we otherwise may have had open for us, but we can't even see them because we're so fearful. And I think that's, you know, it's all energetic. Like if the energy you put out is no one's going to wait for me on the other end of this, then no one will wait for you. Mm-hmm. But if the energy is like the right people will reconnect with me when I'm ready, they will reconnect with you when you're ready. And what you will create will be even more profound because it will come from a place of wellness and truth instead of burnout and obligation.
Mm, God, the fear place is definitely the place I think I've been operating from for I don't even know how long anymore. So I think that that is completely accurate. And when I really think about it, I'm like, that goes for relationships, like jobs I've taken, things I've undertaken just in general. And it's like, you're right. I think the universe always does for me maybe what I can't do for myself until I finally get the picture of like, oh, that wasn't meant for me. And it feels so harsh at the time. But I think that when I'm making decisions out of fear, I will always bump up against this isn't in line. Like it's just not in line. And so that door is going to close because the foundation is faulty. Like it's not actually rooted in something that is meant for me and in line, and just like the flow is not there.
Yeah.
And I can't even remember the last time I felt the flow because I've been operating from fear for so long.
Because the flow, it's like I said earlier, like that flow, that creativity, it's born of your intuition. And right now your intuition has no breathing room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the oxygen in the room is being sucked up by fear or ego or burnout, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the good thing is like, you never lose your intuition the same way you never lose your true self. It's always there. It's just hidden right now under a lot of dust. And what you need is, you know, some joyful spring cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, I don't know, I'm happy for you. I know it's really scary to like,
it is really scary. Something
that you've put your heart and soul into and you've done really well with, because even your like operating at 50% is so incredible. Like, I don't think anybody would have known that you were not operating at 100%. But you'll never know like how good you can feel, like how much better you can feel than the way you feel now if you don't create space for that.
Well, we keep using the term mental health break, which actually you gave me and you didn't even know you gave me. But you said that in a message and I was like, oh, that, yes, that is what I need. And I was actually listening to a podcast today. It was on Oprah podcast. I'm always like such a fan of hers. But they were talking about just kind of what you mentioned earlier. Maybe this was the point that I forgot to mention, but you had said something about when it's a physical ailment, like we go to the doctor, we pause. If you're not feeling well, you get in bed and you nurse yourself back to health. And why they were saying like, we never consider that with our mental health. And like the reality is when your mental health starts to go, we don't even realize how many physical ailments are tied into that. And so, I mean, if a break is what you need, that's what you need. If you need therapy, that's what you need. You know, it's like figuring out what it is that you need to get in touch with what you're feeling so that we can perform at our higher capacities. But I wanted to ask you, like, what does a mental health break look like? Like what, you know, because that's such a vague term, but like, what does it look like for you?
I'll tell you, I'm someone who it's really easy for me to get in this cycle where all I do is check emails, work, and be in this like very matrix-like existence where I'm not moving my body. I'm not disconnected from electronics. I'm like just go, go, go all the time. And so for me, a mental health break meant getting off the computer, getting off my phone, not having emails to check, not having work that was due to other people where I felt like this pressure, like someone's waiting for something. And then seeing a therapist, eating completely differently. And I can, we could do a whole episode about the food piece of mental health because I have recently been diagnosed with Hashimoto's, which is an autoimmune disorder. And I thought that all these years that I had slight depression or brain fog or body pain, like I just thought like, that's just my status quo. And I'm realizing now that I've been making myself sick because of all the food I've been eating. So like all those comfort foods that I thought were making me feel better, like a cheeseburger or a spaghetti bolognese, were actually like slowly like robbing me of my zest for life, my energy, my joy, my sex drive, my mental acuity. And I think so many of us have probably eaten really poorly recently. And I wonder if that's another reason why we all feel like shit is... Yeah. We're all inflamed and we're all sluggish. And it's not just about weight gain. Like I'm happy to gain weight if I'm happy, but I just feel like heavy in my soul. And ever since I've changed my diet because of this diagnosis, I feel like the electricity is starting to come back in my brain and my body, like even my desire, like it's all waking up. So for me, I did this back in 2019 when I went on that mental health break. Like I ate better during that time. I walked more. I started working out with a trainer. Like I never invested in my wellness the way I invested, for example, in my house. Like if my sink breaks in the kitchen, you better believe the plumber's here within 2 hours.
Yes.
Like if I feel like I've lost my mobility after giving birth, like how long do you think it took me to actually go see a doctor to talk about the fact that I like have lost mobility? Like it didn't even dawn on me until I took that break to like do it just like a head to toe assessment. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, how am I doing? Am I happy? Do I even know what makes me happy? I literally had to start writing a list in my phone called my joy list so that when I felt even sparks of happiness, I would write down what caused it because I could not answer the question at that time. Wow. What makes you happy? What makes you joyful? I'd be like, crickets. I have no idea. So I started this list and it's something you could do too. My joy list. And it would be things like my ripped jeans, like one that made me joyful, or having someone give me a cup of coffee in the morning, like that made me joyful, you know, really mundane things. But there were glimmers throughout my day where I did feel moments of joy. And until I documented them, I didn't even know that they were happening. Mm-hmm. So for me, my mental health break was being here now in my body, in the present moment, and feeling what needed to be felt and healing what needed to be healed, whether it was emotional or physical or spiritual. And I started writing and honoring that, like honoring what I was feeling in the moment and getting it on paper is what has truly changed my life in a way that I never could have anticipated if I had stayed on the hamster wheel forever. And I think my hope is that by sharing all of this and like being candid about what I've been through and what I've discovered, I can help other people take the pause, like take that powerful pause, make that shift and reclaim themselves and feel at home in their bodies instead of feeling like in prison.
Yeah. Well, you're already helping me. I mean, you gave it. It was just, I'm telling you, these are the moments where you're like, thank you, universe. And I remember that someone else is working for me and I don't need to work so hard. Like, it's literally, I was having that moment. My friends had convinced me finally that I needed to take a break and a pause and it was going to be okay. But I was like, oh, maybe I'll just do like a week or two, or, you know, like, I don't know. I just didn't. And then you messaged me out of the blue. Like I haven't talked to you in a while. And it just was the exact right message for me to get, to let myself off the hook and be like, wait, Melody has this business and it's amazing. And she comes back and like, you leave it for a minute and you come back and it's there as far as I know, and still thriving. And then you've got another book that you wrote, and it doesn't, like, I even just in the hearing of what you did during your time, I'm intuitively or instinctually doing those things. Like someone asked me this morning, well, what does your day look like? And I actually, for the first time, felt really great to be like, well, I'm going to go to this yoga class. And then I was like, and then I'm talking to a friend later. Like I had this call scheduled and that was pretty much about it. A couple invoices I still need to send out, you know, but like, I'm going to do those throughout the week. And I don't feel this, like, my day isn't so stacked back to back to back. And I used to feel shame about that. Like, yeah. If someone would ask me and I didn't have a lot going on, I felt embarrassed. And mm-hmm. It's like, we just glamorize that or just praise that. Like, it's so great that you're so back to back to back that you don't have a chance to eat, or you're eating in your car between meetings. And I'm like, why? Why are we saying that that is the way to live? Because it's the way to get a lot of stuff done until you get to where I got, or where you sound like you got, and you can't do anything anymore.
No, you, if you don't take up space in your life will kick you out. And that's kind of what happened to me. I felt like, okay, like, I've constructed this beautiful world. And then I woke up one morning and I didn't see myself in it. And I keep having this happen like every few years, and I have to do the work and I have to do the check-in. So like you said earlier, it's a journey, and it doesn't mean, like, self-love is not a destination. It's not something you suddenly recognize, you feel, and then you're healed forever. But for me, like, the words self-love have become like a compass. And as long as I remember those, that phrase, like, am I practicing self-love? That's how I know, like, okay, like, am I taking up space for myself? Am I joyful? Am I enjoying this very limited time we have on this planet? Or am I just going through the motions and then waking up 2 years later? Because that's what I don't want. Mm-hmm. I'm also someone who, like, when I am experiencing trauma, I forget. Like, that's how I heal, is I just, like, shut off those memories. And there are so many years that I just are hazy for me, and I don't want to go through that anymore. Like, I want to course correct sooner, to use that phrase again. And it sounds like for you, like, this might be the first time you're doing this. Mm-hmm. And now that you've done it, maybe next time you'll be like, feeling a little off. I'm going to, like, plan a week off. And maybe at that time, even just having a finite week off will be enough. But for now, like, I would urge you not to put an end mark on it. Like, mm-hmm. don't say this is for a week or for a month or for 2 months. Allow yourself the opportunity to go into the unknown with joy and see what happens.
Yeah. Thank you for giving me that permission. Sometimes I need it from my friends.
Yeah.
I need y'all to say it first so that I can go, wait, oh, that's an option. You know, like, I just won't give myself those options. But okay, tell us about, because you mentioned you wrote a new book. I got really excited. Can you tell us about it?
I'm going to give a very abbreviated version, and we're going to probably have to pick this up because my son's school gets out in 1 minute.
I figured.
but the story is that during that time in 2019, when I took that time off, I was really drawn to write poetry. When I was a kid, I always wrote poetry. And I, you know, after I went to law school and I started working, like, that part of me kind of died. And it was during the break that it was reborn. So I started writing poetry. And then when the pandemic started, at that same time, I thought, you know what, I'm going to turn this poetry I've been writing over the past few years into a book. Mm. And that book is called Self-Love Poetry for Thinkers and Feelers. It's 100 pairs of poems, each on a central theme related to self-love. And what's cool about the book is that the left side of every page is for left brain thinkers, and the right side of every page is for right brain feelers. You get this, like, dual experience. And I self-published this book a year ago in October, and it did so well that a publisher reached out to me and acquired it along with two other books. And we just republished Self-Love Poetry this past week. And it's a dream come true. Like, I'm going to be able to go into a bookstore and get my book off a shelf. So I'm pinching myself, but the true gift in it is that this is the truest version of me. Like, what you see on these pages, and even the dedication in the book, I'll read you the dedication because it kind of tells you everything you need to know. It says, "Dedicated to my childhood self, a thoughtful, heart-forward girl who wrote poetry to make sense of her outer and inner worlds. Melody, we did it. We did it."
Oh, that makes me want to cry.
I'm like teary because, and you know, when I wrote this book, like, I really, there was no ego in any of it. Like, I didn't really care anymore. Like, I didn't wait for a publisher. I didn't care who was going to buy it. I was so proud of the parts of me that are reflected in this book that I just knew I had to get it out there. And the universe was kind of like, high five, like you did this for the right reasons and we're going to reward you. And now like the publisher is going to come to you, because 10 years ago, when I wrote my first book, it was a spy thriller. I sent it out to 75 agents and publishers and no one cared. And because no one external validated me, I thought that that chapter of my life was over. I'm like, oh, okay, well, I guess I'm not a writer. And this, my self-love journey has been about realizing like, I don't need anyone's validation to write. Like I do this for me. And this book, you see it, right? It's just like a heart forward. Like it's my heart in 200 pages. And my only hope is that when people read it, it brings them home to themselves. And I am really excited because the ABCs of Self-Love, which I had also previously self-published, a new edition is coming out in January. It's Yay. Illustrated. It has, it's a full journal. It's so beautiful. And it's like the fullest realization of what I tried to do when I first wrote it in 2018. And then The Shift, which I'm currently writing, is a poetry book that's all about the old way of thinking versus the new way of thinking about all different things. And the pause, you know, is something that I am definitely going to be talking about in there. That's going to come out in September. So three books in 1 year.
Next September. I'm assuming.
Yeah, that one's, okay. Yeah. The okay. Self-Love Poetry is out now.
Okay.
ABCs comes out in January and then that one will come out next year. But the totality of all of that and the reason that I share it, is that it was all born during a time of incredible stillness and authenticity. It was only when I was willing to give up everything that I thought I needed that I discovered what I actually have within myself. And I think that's my parting message to you is you have a lot right now that you've built that you think you need, but you don't have yourself. And that is the true gift is, can you give yourself to you and see what you can create from that space of self-love and wholeness?
That's what I need. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Velvet's Edge podcast with Kelly Henderson, where we believe everyone has a little velvet and a little edge. Subscribe for more conversations on life, style, beauty, and relationships. Search Velvet's Edge wherever you get your podcasts.